Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Florida, Georgia line, all my folks down near Eufaula, Alabama. How are y'all doing today? My people over in Talbot and Taylor County, Georgia, how you doing? My folks over in Russell County, Alabama, hope things are going well with you. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. We're here for the Sunday Conversation Show. We're excited about the show that we're going to have today. We're having a great conversation that's frankly focused on black men, young black men in particular. And we're just going to ask the simple question, what is going on with our young black men in this city? If you look at the fact right there before Thanksgiving, the day before I left to go out of town for Thanksgiving, I had a situation very near to my house where a young black male was shot multiple times right there in the road by Walgreens. And then we come home for Thanksgiving and we see the tragic news of a gentleman and his three-year-old son, let that sink in. Shot and killed right there outside of their own home and left right there on the curve for any and everybody or anything to find them. Just doesn't seem like we are a world of compassion or care anymore. It just seems like, you know, we're living in a society where nothing matters. Anything goes. What's this thing called love and hope? It's all about hate and division and bigotry and just so much going on. But particularly, we got to look at it through the lens of where the problem really lies. And if you really, really look at it, we have a problem with our black male community. Now, I have a similar panel of young black males here to help me talk about this today because, you know, they're very close to the issue. They touch a lot of these young boys that we're having the issues with today. I'm excited to have with me Dr. Jake Golden. Dr. Jake Golden is in the educational system over in Phoenix City. Thank you so much, Dr. Golden, for being here. We also have Pastor Adrian Chester, and we have Mr. Jarvis Hamilton. You guys probably know Jarvis, all the work that he does with Overflow Ministries, as well as individually volunteering at so many different areas here in the city, food banks and community centers. Jarvis is just an all-around guy just putting a lot of work in. So, Jarvis, thank you so much for your presence. And we also have with us Justin Allen. Justin Allen, born and raised here in Columbus as well, and he's also the founder and president of All In Columbus nonprofit, yes, sir, as well as a gainfully employed individual with Goodwill Southern Rivers, yes, which covers our region here in Columbus, Georgia. And so we're going to begin our conversation today, and I'm just going to open it up and ask the simple question, and I'm going to start with you, Dr. Golden. Dr. Golden, what is going on with our young black men today?
Wow. I'm a firm believer that everything rises and falls on leadership. I think that right now the leadership that we need that can actually help pull in our young black males is not really where it needs to be. And in the leadership, it calls for some accountability, I believe. I believe that not only our young black men needs to be held accountable, but our leadership needs to be held accountable. I mean, we can go as far as going all the way to our own nation's leadership and accountability. I think, like I said, with everything rising and falling on leadership, it trickles on down. And I think that it's coming down into our community and now hitting our home. Hitting
now, our home. When you say leadership, what do you mean by leadership?
Leadership, meaning the push, the drive, the motivation, the hope to move into the right direction. We have a lot of different things that are going on in our community, but we fail to kind of come together as leaders in order to make a move. I hear this ministry and that ministry, or this is doing that and that is doing that, but I haven't collectively seen until I did have an opportunity to meet with a group of great men that you actually organized, that where we were actually trying to pull black men together for a unified purpose. So when I say leadership, I'm talking about for all of us leaders to start pulling together and to start holding each other accountable, therefore, and pulling our young black men in and holding them accountable as well. So when I say leadership in general, it's not a particular program or a particular person, but I'm just talking about us pulling together as a people, as a race, as young black men, and have a unified front and go out and really start trying to actually put our hands on.
So in your opinion, there are no shepherds guarding the sheep.
Exactly. Or we have a lot of shepherds, but we have one over here, one over there. I could name some great men that I know are doing great things right now in the mm-hmm. community. I mean, two are sitting right here to my right. But where do we, how do we impact the masses?
Right. I
mean, you know, we can get one here and one there.
Mm-hmm.
How do we impact the masses is kind of where my question is. I know that, you know, Brother Norman and Sean, Riley. I mean,
absolutely.
These guys are wonderful leaders,
right?
But we all have to come together collectively and just try to make a major push.
Because this is a big area. Right. If you look at the entire Chattahoochee Valley area, you know, one or two people can have a nice nice neighborhood impact. But the problems we're experiencing, Justin, seem to extend beyond just basic community.
And along with what Dr. Golden was saying, I think there are leaders that are in the community, but like you said, Teddy, it is a big area, and being able for one person to represent such a large area, for a few people to represent such a large area, I mean, it's difficult. So I think there needs to be a better job of organizing the leaders, along with organizing people that I think there are genuine people that want to help and want to be available. I think we just have to do a better job of organizing, knowing who's going to be where and when, right? And once we get that information, once we get, you know, that good organization established, it really at that point won't matter what organization or what, you know, what you belong to, mm-hmm. Because everybody's going to have their opportunity to do what they are great in. And I think as we begin to spread that around and we are truly organized, then we'll be able to make a difference. And I think that's when we'll start seeing things change in our community. But if we lack organization, there's no organization there. There has to be chaos. So until, you know, we get things organized, I think we'll continue to see that chaos.
When you say lack of organization, we've had some historically critical organizations to work in our community, like the Urban League and like, you know, the Community Center mm-hmm. and other organizations. Are we seeing a lack of effectiveness there, or do we need to work on that more? You know, what type of organization are you referring to?
When I speak on the organization, I think of not necessarily the name, but how many people actually represent that organization here locally, and where is their immediate impact, right? The organization can have whatever name it can have, but in a 1,000-year legacy, but if currently only five people are working and their main impact is one neighborhood, then we can't realistically expect that one organization to be able to monitor and impact the entire city. Whereas if we take legacy organization 1, 2, 3, and 4, along with grassroots organizations 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we effectively, you know, create a map where the organizations will, quote unquote, be responsible for, or where they can because a lot of these organizations provide many of the same resources, right? We know a lot of the same information, and if, you know, I'm sure I could borrow somebody from an organization that does. But I think it's more so than anything, we have to be intentional on who is going to operate where at a certain point of time. And it can be on rotating shifts if we, you know, once we get to that level, but I just think we have to do a better job of knowing who's going to be where and when, so that, you know, if Dr. Golden or Jarvis is doing one thing, you know, at a specific time in a specific area, I don't come right back behind them hitting on the same topics or the same resources that they did right behind them, where at the same time I could be somewhere else, and it just makes more of a collective effort.
You know, something something I noticed, and again, I'm extremely appreciative of anybody doing anything here in the
right,
city.
Absolutely.
But during Thanksgiving and Christmas, you see a lot of toy giveaways and you see a lot of turkey giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already trying to cater to people with little resources. Right. They can't go to everybody's different function.
Right, absolutely.
Some of them do, but Pastor Chester, you know, you're going to join the conversation. You're going to cover it like that. I mean, some of them do. But realistically, it's kind of hard for them to get there. So working together on something like that,
right?
Like having a community meeting where everyone who wants to do a toy drive and everyone who wants to do a turkey drive, let's get together.
Absolutely.
And let's make it one huge effort.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you will still get the credit. I mean, right. I don't think these people are doing it for credit. Right. Let me be right. clear on that. Right. But right. anybody who is, you'll still get the credit. You know, we're still one big family doing it together. But it will be a better utilization of our community resources.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, versus me having to donate 4 and 5 bicycles to 4 and 5 different groups.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, let's just bring that to one location and do that collectively. Jarvis, do you think we have a true understanding of the real challenges here, that the real obstacles that we face? Do we need something like a community assessment or something?
I think it's a large group that does have an understanding, but I don't think it's large enough. And I do like the idea of groups linking together. I was talking to somebody about the turkey drives, and I was saying it would be good if we had one big area like the Civic Center or something, and all the groups give out.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one saying that. Okay, 2,000 what about Jumping Old Tech?
So, 3,000 turkeys. So, because, you know, all the turkeys that was given out, just do the math. Everybody just go to one spot and all the organizations be there. Because, I mean, we all, if we all sincere about it, we want the same thing to happen. Another thing, another part of the leaders isn't even just the organizations, it's the parents. Because the parents see the kids more than anybody, hopefully. And if the kids need mentoring, but the young adults need mentoring also, because they having these kids at 14, 15, 16. So now they're 25 with a 10-year-old young man who they got to try to teach him how to be a young adult, because that's what he headed toward. And so I think the parents need mentoring more than anything. You know, when somebody calls me and say, we got this child, he's getting in trouble in school, all of them trying to run gangs now, and we want you to link up with the boy and talk to him. First person I talk to is the parent, and I go meet with the parent by themselves, because that's the first person I want to talk to. I want to see what their mindset is, because if I'm going to be telling them something different, then they go home to the person that they see every single day, and they tell them the whole opposite, the negative part, then we ain't going to get nowhere.
Now, you know, that's interesting that you say that in your concept of talking to the parents first, because, you know, I've been asked to come, you know, come talk to this young man for me. Mm-hmm. Come talk to this, you know, this little dude here and help him get some insight on life and some guidance. But I don't think I've ever been asked to talk to the parents. And I'm sure it probably helps you identify a lot. Do you see consistent issues, like some of the things that the students are facing, the parents face them too?
Man, definitely. I talk to a lot of parents whose kids aren't going to school. And then when you look up the parents, I was just talking about this before we started, the parents dropped out of school, which meant they didn't value education. So they not going to value their child's education.
Mm.
True.
Wow. That's pretty deep there, and it's certainly something to think about. Dr. Golden, I want to come back to you real quick, since we're talking about education, and considering that you work in the alternative school system, which is where many of our challenged children are placed, or those that they have deemed to be challenging, mm-hmm. you know. What are some of the reoccurring themes that you see happening on that level that you think as a community we can begin to address?
Wow. Reoccurring things that we're dealing with now. Kids now are they're exposed to a lot of information. Okay. A lot of information. And the problem is that they're exposed to the information, but nobody takes time to tell them what to do with that information. Mm. I've dealt with more sexual type offenses that's unbelievable. I've dealt with more things that are dealing with not per se always the use of drugs, but just having them, just doing things with them. Like, and it's like they have a lot of information that's in and don't really know what to do with it. A lot of information, but we're lacking wisdom. So I think that something that we can definitely do is to make sure that we got to go a little bit back to the old school. I know that we're moving into it just a little bit where you can actually go. When I see a young man with his pants sagging, I don't mind saying, hey, young brother, pull your pants. Let me tell you why.
Right.
Well, see, and that's the thing now. Now, that's the difference between now and then. Back in the day, Big Jake say pull your pants up, and I pulled them up. Now, you say pull your pants up. He probably in there, doesn't have a melon on.
Right.
So you need to explain to him why. Because, listen, when you do, you're going to be viewed this way.
Right.
And if you're viewed this way, because I don't care what folk think about me. Okay, I hear you. But when you're viewed this way, that's how we're going in. And you know, and I mean, we can go to so many scenarios when we start thinking about Skittles and a drink. And that's how we can start, because of the way we're viewed. But nobody takes time to pull them to the side and say, you know, like, I love the fact that we're Afrocentric now. The kids wearing dreads. I love it. Know your roots. Know where it come from. But listen, but when you do it, let's keep them clean. Let's still make ourselves presentable. So what I'm saying is, I think that we a lot of the themes are still the same. It's just everything is magnified now due to social media. I mean, everything. And most of the sexual acts and drug things that I'm catching, all of it has been broadcast. I mean, they're snapping it. They're tweeting it. They're posting it. And it becomes national news just automatically.
Unfortunately, that's become their culture, though. Yep. And that's what they see on TV. That's what they see with, you know, the reality shows. And, you know, even when I'm watching, like, Real Housewives with my wife sometimes, I see, you know, well, this person said in this blog that da-da-da-da-da, and then this person tweeted that, and you got an entire TV fight over a tweet.
Mm-hmm. Right. What?
You know, so we got to expect that to infiltrate our local culture, right?
Right.
You know, and Pastor Chester, looking at it from a community standpoint and a church perspective, you know, you have a very young population at your church as well. What are some things you see or you see other people, other men of the cloth doing to help engage their younger generation?
Well, several things that I see in the rise here in Columbus is our pastors stepping outside of the pulpit to provide what the other brothers have talked about, male mentoring, not just waiting on children to come to our youth programs and our youth ministries, but to be engaged with them on their level. Now, of course, some of them may be taking it a tad bit too far, but we appreciate it. We do acknowledge and appreciate the efforts if you look at every time we have an incident here in Columbus, people are hollering, you know, where's the church? Where's the church, right? Where's the church? And sometimes that is a very valid question. But in most cases, the persons involved in these incidents are persons who have probably have been attempted to be evangelized to in some point. So sometimes I believe the church has to take a lot of heat for not doing enough when it is we are doing it. We may just not have reached that particular population, right? And if every church would first start with their immediate community,
right,
we'll see a transition of infiltrating this culture that's been so heavily influenced with reality TV. I mean, you know, I was just talking to one of our friends the other day. Young lady came to school with pills, passing out pills to other students.
Good Lord.
You know, like, come on, what you doing?
You're right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, children are just being so oversaturated with worldly stuff that it's kind of thick out here nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. That's a good point. You know, worldly things are having an impact on our young people, and it's having an impact in a way that other generations haven't had to deal with. You know, I was talking with some people about that the other day. You know, growing up, I remember the microwave was new.
Right.
You know, I remember cell phones were new. You know, now my little girl grew up playing shape and color games on touchpads and tablets and things of that nature. So, you know, we can't pretend that each generations are being faced with the same challenges as the last, because they're not. They are different. But however, our job, I think part of it is anyway, is to make sure that we adjust to the changes that are happening with society. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I just want to ask you guys a simple question. And that question is going to be, you know, do we need to get together the leaders and the organizations in our community that are doing great things for one big community meeting? Would that be effective? What's the pros and cons to doing that? So we're going to talk about that when we get back. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave, but remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We're having a great conversation here today with my good friend Jarvis Hamilton, Justin Allen, Dr. Jake Golden, my man. and also Pastor Adrian Chester. And we're talking about black men today. What is going on with our black males? Just simply put, what is going on with them? And something that has come out in the conversation is the need for more organization here in the community to be a little bit more organized. And so the question I want to put out right here right now is, I'm just gonna put it out there and I'm gonna say it like it need to be said. I'm not finna sugarcoat it, Dr. Golden. You know, we deal with a lot of egos in the community,
right?
Yeah,
we deal with a lot of big heads. Mm-hmm. Some of them so big you can't even get in the room with them. Mm-hmm. You know, some people think that they are entitled to certain things because they've served in certain capacities. Some folks think because they walk around with a certain family name that they get put before anybody else. You know, can we have a joint community meeting where we meet with all the organizations and community leaders that are making a difference? Do you see us having the ability to come together? Anybody take that?
Go ahead. I was going to say that, I think it's worth putting the opportunity out there. Of course, for whatever reason, be it, you know, ego, time, schedule, or life, you know, everybody's not going to be able to make it, right? So, you know, I definitely think it's worth putting out there. I definitely think that it has to be planned in a strategic manner to where whoever is going to be over this meeting is someone that I think there's a general consensus of, you know, that generally just wants to see the community do better, you know, and that's my only thing. I personally don't care, you know, who comes, who doesn't come. I want to make, let's make the invite and let's just get to work. Even if people show up, so a lot of folks don't do the work. So, I mean, let's just invite, make the plan, and who participates and who doesn't. That's for other folks. But I think put it out there and let's see who's going to really get to work.
And if you choose not to participate, don't sabotage.
Well, yeah, I do agree with that. Go ahead.
I would just add to Justin's and to the question, what you framed for us, Teddy, as it relates to John C. Maxwell and the levels of leadership, mm-hmm. that the lowest level of leadership is position. Title, mm-hmm. right? And third level leadership is results. So in calling this meeting, so it may be beneficial to just leave people out just based upon them thinking that they have leadership just because they have a position, but ought to be really focusing on the people. The third level leadership.
If I had another 2 hours, I would tell you the heat that I took when I organized State of Black Columbus and certain folks weren't invited. Oh, I took a lot of heat for that.
So but, you have to get away from thinking that just because you have a position,
come on,
that means that you are a leader.
Okay.
Right?
Really,
but
okay,
the third level of leadership is results and bringing those people in who have, you know, who have results. And the deepest level, the highest level of leadership is reproduction. People follow you because of what you've been able to do and continuously reproduce. And so many of the people in whom we think are leaders, they probably reproduced at one point in time, right? Or they probably produced at one point in time, but they're probably outside of their stage of reproduction for this current age, this present age, in the words of the hymn writer.
I want to say And you said something key. You said, well, is it possible? And I think that pulling these people together is very possible, but it has to be with a person who everyone respects, who's able to pull in. It has to be a Teddy Reese type person. Now, I ain't going to blow you up. What I mean by that is, I'm going to give you an example.
Now, can Teddy Reese be reproduced?
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly, because let me get you to understand what I'm saying. Mr. Reese will call my cell phone, and when his name pops up, it's a priority that I answer.
Brother, I appreciate that.
Now, there are some people
who
can call my cell phone, and I let it go to voicemail. You know, because I'm busy. I got things, and I can call you back. But what I'm saying is, when you're pulling in these leaders, and we got to get out of the show thing. Everybody for so many years have just asked me over and over, oh, Jake, Dr. Golden, man, what's the name of your ministry? What's the name of your not-for-profit? I never tell them. Because I said, man, it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows anything about Sigma 7 Ministry. Uh-uh. But guess what? When I see that Overflow has the bougie and bow ties, I'm going to go and support.
Mm-hmm.
When I see that All for Columbus is having a drive, I'm going to go and support.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pull together, man, and stop trying to put our name on marquees, bro, and start to change the doggone community. And if you out here listening, I'm talking to you, sir. The one sitting up on these high chairs looking down at folk, like, I don't care if anybody call me Dr. Golden. Man, I was born Jake. Jake from the East Side went to Kendrick High School.
Come on.
Graduated in 1995. I'm the same man. I put my pants on like everybody else. We got to get out of this and really start getting out and do something. That's why I love Norman so much. I talk about it. This dude, he's out there. And we grew up together.
Every day.
What I'm saying is, and I'm saying Norman Quartz. I'm going to put it out there because I want to make sure that I'm clear. Mm-hmm. And I see Sean Riley. I see him out there doing things. I know Gerald Riley. Mm-hmm. I see him out there doing things. I know, you know, boy, I can go down your whole family. They're out there doing things. We got to put ourselves down, man. Put our organizations down and pull together. And it's going to take that one person that's kind of – and it's a mammoth undertaking, sir. It's a mammoth undertaking. Nobody wants to volunteer for this job.
Right.
Nobody wants to put – be the
but
one
you know, you honestly got to have an expansive outreach. Like, you know, I know, Jarvis, you didn't make the event with us when we had 45 – I mean, we had roughly 40 black males under the age of 45 meeting with – Mayor-elect Skip Henderson. You wanted to be there, and you told me personally you couldn't come, and I appreciate that. But Justin, Pastor, you said that too, but Justin and Jake, you guys were there. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, we had a different room that has never gotten together before. You had barbers, you had doctors, you had lawyers, you had CPAs, you had educators, you had landscapers, you had folks that everyday people, black men under the age of 40. Jarvis, this is the type of meeting I'm thinking about. Like, we need the OGs in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, we need the reformed drug dealers in the room.
Right. Right.
We need the doctors in the room. We need the lawyers in the room. And you know, working with Overflow Ministries and being at the barbershop, you know, the barbershop, man, that's a whole nother conversation. I think the barbershop is like next to God with this ability to do things in the community with the folks you reach. Mm-hmm. Everybody go get an edge up. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And so, Jarvis, can we get the OGs in the room with some of these leaders that the OGs feel have ignored them for a long time?
Yeah, you can get them in the room. They talk about it. The OGs talk about it all the time, but that's the thing. They talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, with Overflow and a lot of these groups, man, I've seen a lot of people that really, really care.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of people that just talk about it. And then we keep reading about all this stuff happening, man. If the young men saw a whole big, big group of African-American guys doing positive stuff, being visible, doing positive stuff, not the title being visible, but the person being visible doing the positive stuff, they're going to react. The barbershop, the guys at the barbershop, they talking to these boys while they cutting their hair, and these boys looking up to them.
Right.
But if you talk negative, they're going to do negative. Cause believe me, they listening. These coaches, youth football coaches, they listening to everything they say. So while they out there telling them what defense to run, and then they cursing out their old lady, them boys hear that, and they going to follow that.
They going to follow that.
So we got to make a real attempt. And I'm around guys in this room and in a lot of rooms that are very, very positive. Everybody knows the Overflow guys. We meet up every day, and tell each other. It's just like tears. We meet up at the barbershop and we tell each other, I love you. Black man don't say that.
Nope.
You know what
nope.
I'm saying? Because it's a problem saying that he ain't tough for you.
If you boy. Tell another man you love him, you gay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's the way society, that's the way we are grooming our young people to think. We're teaching them to be emotionless. They might as well be robots.
Yeah. Mm. And so we building up these boys to be tough. And I got into a lot of slack because I remember a Facebook post. I was telling her, we got to teach our boys how to be approachable. How when we walk towards somebody, we address them. We stick our hands out and shake their hands and stuff like that. And a bunch of people said, you know, we ain't got to teach our people to be like the other, be like the white guys. I ain't teaching them to be like the white guy. We're teaching them the art of respect. So you respect somebody, and they supposed to respect you back, right. You know. And so I feel like you got to teach them how to do that. You don't lose your roots when you start respecting people and, right. And get rid of the tough persona. Ain't nothing wrong with being tough, but it's got to be a lot of love out here.
You know, speaking of overflow, and Jake, you and Justin, you guys witnessed this. When Gerald Riley at our meeting, at our young black male meeting with Mayor-elect Skip Henderson, when Gerald Riley talked about the sweepers program, mm-hmm. Skip had a look on his face that was just amazed, like, wow. Like talk about impact. And then he went into, man, this should have been recorded. Because it was probably unprecedented, Pastor Chester, in our city, that young black men under the age of 45 were meeting with such senior city leadership. You know, that's been reserved for the one or two, three or four that has been designated to speak on behalf of the black community. But it shows a change in era, because as the young leaders, we think differently. We don't think like those old leaders. And we're seeing a clash in ideology, if you will, between the older generation and the younger generation. Will this transition get rougher? Or are we going to see some type of smooth work? You know what I'm trying to get to. Come on, just talk to me. Talk to me.
I mean, the transition will be rocky, right? Because our generation has, and generations after those of the baby boomers and such, we have moved towards a more Afrocentric
right.
knowledge of self, respect, leadership, and organization, where there are many who have operated under a Eurocentric order that is only for the good old boys, right? Mm-hmm. Good old boys, the good old girls. And so I don't think these two leadership styles and understandings can be co-opted into one another. Mm-hmm. Because our generation, generations after the baby boomers, we say that respect is not just given off of position, but respect is given off of production.
Yep.
Right, production. Mm-hmm. And so if you want us to respect you, there are certain things that we need produced. I mean, just look at what's going on in the national political scene of this freshman class of congressional leaders that say, hey, we don't care what y'all been doing up here, because what y'all doing, y'all ain't producing what the folks on the ground need.
Mm-hmm.
And so we coming up here to get what the folks on the ground need, which it goes back to the African, Afrocentric teaching of Ubuntu. I am because we are.
Right.
And if we aren't, I ain't.
That's real.
That's right. That's right.
And so you can't blame a generation for being true to what they feel and what we know is true African roots of, or Afrocentric roots of leadership and respect. Because that's who we are. We don't want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to get co-opted into this false sense of identity. And so I just encourage everybody, shameless plug, go out and read Naeem Akbar's Know Thyself. Read that and change your life forever.
And I even think to what Adrian was saying about it being an Afrocentric type of movement, you got to think about what helped us get into a lot of these positions in the first place. It was, you know, really believing who we were and our heritage. I mean, the Black Panthers weren't a Eurocentric way of operating. You know, Malcolm X wasn't a Eurocentric way of operating. A lot of times you know, because at that time it was, I guess, specifically focused on the black race trying to go up against the white race. And now it's more an older generation versus a younger generation. We look at those two time frames differently, where it's a lot of the same thing going on. At that time, the powers that be were not looking out for the people on the ground.
Well, you know, Justin, when you have senatorial candidates in Mississippi stating that she'll go to a public hanging, that just shows you where we are in this time. And I tell you, and speaking of time, it gets by us, and we've come to the end of this particular show. This is part one, listeners, of my panel conversation of what is going on with all black males. This is part one. So please join us next Sunday as we continue this conversation with part two of what is going on with our black males. We're going to have the second half of this show, and I promise you it's going to be just as enlightening and just as electrifying as this first half. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We look forward to you joining us next Sunday. Thank you. The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.